Here we go. All right. Good morning, everybody. I will call to order the regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting for this Tuesday, November 20th, 2018, Thanksgiving week. Ask if everybody please join the board as we honor America with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So as we get started, board, I'd like to ask if there is no objection, I'd like to move from consent agenda 4, 5, 6, and 7, all dealing with the confined animal feeding operations, to additional items on our agenda, additional item number 2. And it makes more sense that we talk about all of it at one time rather than talk about part of it at the beginning of the meeting, part of it at the end of the meeting. You guys good with that?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, so we'll pull those 4 from consent and deal with them in additional items. First item on our agenda, as always, is public comment number 1. It's an opportunity for members of the public to comment on items on today's agenda, or really anything you'd like to comment on. Anybody wishing to do so, come right on up to the microphone. And seeing no one moving to the microphone, we'll move on to the potential awarding of a bid to Central States Roofing for bid alternate number 1 for the Justice Center re-roofing. Joby and Leanne.
Good morning.
Morning.
All right, so we were pleasantly surprised with the dollar numbers that we received from Central States. We know Central States is an outstanding company. You guys reviewed the bids. What did you find?
Well, after putting them through our selection matrix, which took into consideration cost, experience, the company as a whole, and come with Central States Roofing was who come out on top, and given the cost associated with it, we recommended going with alternate 1 because we can address some of the issues that the roof has, add some layer of protection against hail for future events, and some other upgrades. Some of them are safety concerns for personnel based off of.
So we're not only going to end up with a new roof, we're going to end up with a more substantial roof.
Yep. Upgraded, and after the selection matrix, Central States Roofing was the lowest responsive bidder.
Outstanding. Board questions?
We have the opportunity to put a roof on the Justice Center that will last a considerable amount of time, and I think this is a straightforward decision. Appreciate the work that you folks went in to looking at this. I thought, coming out of last week, that kind of knew in my mind where we're probably going to land. I'm glad that you got to where you got.
I do want to point out the recommendation we put on for today's meeting did indicate that we asked the county attorney to be prepared next week with a contract for the board with the holiday. Today is the deadline. So if we could possibly push that back to the 4th. Rather than next Saturday or next Tuesday,
the contract itself.
Yeah, when are they expecting to start work? Does
weather permitting? So January, February.
All right. Board, do I have a motion?
I move to the award the bid to Central States Roofing for bid alternate number 1 for the Justice Center re-roofing project for the amount of $358,800
as presented.
Oh, and we will bring the contract back to us on December 4th. December 4th. Mm-hmm. All right, that's my motion.
I second that motion.
Motion and a second. Further discussion? Chee?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Passes. We'll see you again on this matter on the 4th.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, we get an agency report from our friend Kaylin from Central Iowa RSVP. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
Good, thanks for coming.
Better than I was last time I was supposed to be here. So. I've got.
Is that what you sent out?
It is. Probably wasn't.
Oh, okay.
Well, we got it pretty colored.
Well, yeah.
Okay. Depends on what printer you use, Kaylin.
It's just bigger.
So, good morning, everybody, and I just want to start by saying thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to come and share
information about what our volunteers have been accomplishing, and appreciate your support. So I'll just get right to it. This is basically a summary of all the different categories or areas that we had volunteers active in this last year. And it's basically the data and the outcomes from those different assignments. And then just for fun, and I see it made the agenda, so I better cover it, the fun collage. I thought it'd be fun to show you that recognition is an important part of our program. Even though it's federally required to budget for that, we would anyway, just because they've actually had evidence-based studies that have shown that it's an important part of volunteer satisfaction and also retention. So we did a whole, at every office location throughout the year, we did these indoor picnics. And then we had some that were nice enough we could do them outdoor. But I got these silly cutouts, you know, from Amazon that I thought, oh, you know, we're going to have a hard time getting them to do this. But no, once we got one up there. So anyway, we had a lot of fun with that. So I just wanted to share that. So educational services, you can see the different programming that we had. And this is a summary of all four counties, but I think it does break out the different volunteer stations that are being served, and you'll be able to see which ones are being done in Story County. Of course, we have three main services. Our volunteer management is our core service for adults 55 and older. But then we also have our volunteer management for emergency program or disaster program, as well as our transportation program. So our volunteer driver program and our disaster program are exclusive to Story County. So the driver program, just to kind of talk a little bit about that, we had 41 volunteers. They served 1,577 hours. We served 105 Story County residents. The majority of those residents are older adults that are still living independently but can't drive anymore. And so our priority is getting them to medical appointments and then other essential services. Those include grocery store, bank, pharmacy. Occasionally a hair appointment is considered an essential service if you're 85 years old. And so, but always our medical trips take priority over any other trips. And then we have been doing trips to Des Moines as well. And I don't have that broken out on here, but I would say that most of the trips that we make to Des Moines are to the VA. And then our volunteer management for emergency services, and that's all broken out. So it's basically three different areas. It's preparing, having volunteers are prepared to manage community or spontaneous volunteers in the event of a disaster, a public health event, or a public safety emergency. And so the public safety is working with the sheriff's office to train and have volunteers ready to staff a tip hotline. Two things for this year that are have impacted our program. The first is the tornado in Marshalltown. We actually have, you know, an office in Marshall County. Fortunately, it's on the south side of town. So we were about 2 days in and having conversations with city officials and also with emergency management. We do not have the same program over there that we do here in Story County. We haven't been able to kind of get that going over there to the extent that we do here, and we don't contract over there with them. But they needed some help, so we felt like it was the right thing to do to come in and help coordinate those teams and groups of volunteers that were coming in. So we actually got activated that Tuesday afterwards. So we did, at that time, pull staff resources from over here as well as volunteer resources to go over and help initially. That was actually going to be temporary just because of the fact that we had our coordinator here for disasters, Story County. But we did find out that we were eligible to apply for a federal grant, disaster grant, to offset the cost of our staff and our volunteers and our resources being utilized in Marshall County. So that grant was awarded in early September. We applied for that. They gave us 3 days to get it in. And so that has really been a blessing, and it's really helped us be able to not only help with the coordination of volunteers throughout this process, but also be part of the long-term recovery process. So it's a one-year grant for this year only for $75,000. And so that's really been able to help a lot with our response over there.
Well, absolutely the right thing to do. I would hope our counterparts in Marshall County see the value in contracting with RSVP going forward.
I would like to think that, too. Yeah. And our volunteers over here were so excited and ready to come over and help. You know, they've been training, and so, you know, to be part of that real-life disaster, I think, was a real positive thing for them as well. And when we talked to Keith Morgan about this, he said, you know, the benefit to Story County in that is that these volunteers and our staff had a chance to practice and be more prepared in the event that something were to happen here. And then the second thing is also disaster-related is that effective July 1, we assumed the Coalition for Disaster Recovery contract with Emergency Management. So our staff person is assuming that role, and so that's additional support for our volunteer management for emergency services. So that's been a really good thing, too. So that's kind of a summary of all the different programs and things that have been going on. You can see our funding breakdown on the back page, and I would welcome any questions that you might have.
Questions or comments for them?
None, except thank you for the many, many volunteer hours that you coordinate and recruit for and the services you provide.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah, I'll echo that, but it also hits from the other side. It gives many of our seniors something really beneficial to be part of, community building. And I think RSVP is a wonderful program, and our community is a better place because of RSVP. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Or anything?
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
All right.
Thank you. Next is consideration of the proclamation declaring November as Pancreatic Cancer Awareness Month. We've got Melinda here today again this year. Hi, Melinda.
Morning, Melinda.
Hi.
You're always in purple when I see you, Melinda.
Welcome back.
Thank you for having me. And I'm so thrilled that you will do a proclamation again for recognizing November as Pancreatic Cancer Awareness Month.
Outstanding. So let me read it in. Story County, Iowa, Iowa Proclamation declaring November as Pancreatic Cancer Awareness Month in Story County, Iowa, whereas in 2018 an estimated 55,400 people will be diagnosed with pancreatic cancer in the United States and 44,330 will die from the disease, whereas pancreatic cancer is one of the deadliest cancers, is currently the third leading cause of cancer death in the United States, and is projected to become the second leading cause around 2020. Whereas pancreatic cancer is the only major cancer with a 5-year relative survival rate in the single digits at just 9%. Whereas, when symptoms of pancreatic cancer present themselves, it is generally in latter stages, and only 10% of pancreatic cancer patients are diagnosed when the disease is confined to their pancreas, and 91% of pancreatic cancer patients die within the first 5 years. Whereas approximately 430 deaths will occur in Iowa in 2018, whereas pancreatic cancer is the seventh most common cause of cancer-related death around the world, and there will be an estimated 418,000 new pancreatic cancer cases diagnosed worldwide in 2020. Whereas the good health and well-being of the residents of Story County are enhanced as a direct result of increased awareness about the symptoms and risk of pancreatic cancer and research into early detection, causes, and effective treatments. Therefore, be it resolved that the Story County Board of Supervisors designates November as Pancreatic Cancer Awareness Month in Story County. Board, comments or a motion?
My comment is my mother died of pancreatic cancer, and I know the story, and Melinda and I have talked a lot in the background, and I have another county employee here, Nicole Wilson, out there, whose mother, she lost two from this disease, and you can't overstate it for the fact by the time you're even aware that it's a part of a family member's story, it's usually end stage, and you can't make yourself aware because it will metastasize, it will move elsewhere. The focal point will be the pancreas, but it will move into the bones, it will move into the connective tissue, and by the time you have notification, it usually is you're planning somebody's funeral. So I encourage everybody to learn all they can about this disease. It's present. It happens to people. You got two people here in the room. You, Melinda, has had this too. Three people in the room have had this disease in their families. Take the time to educate yourself on this because you can't know too much about it. So I would move.
consideration of the proclamation declaring November as Pancreatic Cancer Awareness Month as presented.
I'm second.
We have a motion and a second. Well said, Marty. Any further discussion? Chidi?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Let's take a picture right here recognizing November as Pancreatic Cancer Awareness Month.
No trick or treaters tonight.
Okay.
One more. Good. Thanks.
Next on our agenda is minutes from November 13th and the November 14th canvas.
Move as presented.
Aye.
Motion and a second. Olson.
Aye.
Chidi.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Minutes passed. Personnel actions as listed, board.
As presented.
Second.
Chidi.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Consent agenda, board reminder, we moved 4, 5, 6, and 7 to additional items. So consent agenda with that note.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second. Olson.
Aye.
Chidi.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Consent agenda, amended consent agenda passes. That leads us to public hearing items. We have four again this week. We approved on first reading all four of these last week. Jerry and Amelia, take us through each one of these and tell us what, if anything, we've heard in the last 7 days.
Okay. Yeah, the board did approve the four ordinances. We provided a detailed presentation. We weren't planning on doing that today. The board did ask us to email out the transportation impact analysis ordinance. We did that to 32 builders, developers, and engineers and received zero comments.
Good.
So we'd be happy to answer any questions that you have, unless you'd like us to go through.
Anybody need to hear anything? We went through a detailed presentation last week. I feel like we've done a good job reaching out to those who will be most directly impacted by something like this. Board, it's up to you. We can open the public hearing. You can ask questions now. We can go through the full presentation.
I don't need a presentation.
Good.
I don't think anything needs to be added that they didn't cover last week. I just was surprised that nobody had anything else to say with that.
It tells me how solid this is.
Yep.
Is what it tells me. All right, so with that, we'll open the public hearing on second consideration of Ordinance 275, which deals with traffic planning standards for Story County. Anybody wishing to comment on this item, come right on up to the microphone. Seeing no one moving the microphone, we'll close the public hearing, turn to the board for action.
Do we have the ability to waive third reading? Are we talking about that?
We absolutely have the ability to waive third reading.
I don't see why we need to bring this back. We've done the outreach that, you know, once again, you just spoke to it in the sense that it was well-researched by the time we got here initially. Subsequently, you've had the opportunity, the public, to speak to it twice and input from anybody directly affected. So I would move second consideration of Ordinance 275, amending Chapters 85, Definitions 87, Land Division Requirements, and change Chapter 88, General Site Planning Standards, for the traffic impact study as presented, and I would waive third reading.
I would second that motion.
Motion and a second to approve it, waive third reading, making Ordinance 275 final as of today. Further discussion? Chidi?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. 275 passes. Let's talk about 276.
So, similar to what Jerry said, you guys recommended approval in the first reading last week, and we're happy to answer any questions that you may have on this one or go through it again.
Any questions, or go straight to the public hearing?
Okay.
All right, let's open the public hearing and ask if there's anyone who would like to address Ordinance 276 dealing with access requirements to property in Story County. Seeing no one moving to the microphone, we'll close the public hearing and turn to the board for potential action.
I would move second consideration of ordinance number 276, which amends chapter 8804 related to access requirements and waive third reading.
I would second that.
Motion and a second, making 276 final. If passed, it passes today. Further discussion?
None.
Olson.
Aye.
Chitty.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. 276 passes. Third reading is waived, making 276 in force. Now we got 278 dealing with home businesses.
We don't have anything else to add other than the information that we provided the last time. We'd be happy to answer your questions.
Yeah, I think this one just really cleaned up home business as much as anything. Assuming no one wants to speak to it, we'll go ahead and open the public hearing and ask if there's anyone who would like to speak to Ordinance 278, dealing, clarifying requirements and process for home business in Story County. Seeing no one moving to the microphone, we'll close the public hearing, turn to the board.
I move second consideration of Ordinance 278, amending the Chapter 89 on business, Chapter 90 conditional use, and Table 90-1 table of conditional use, and then I would waive third reading.
I second.
Motion and a second. Further discussion? Chitty.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Finally, in public hearings, we got second consideration of Ordinance 279, which deals with commercial campgrounds.
Again, we don't have anything in addition to what we provided at our presentation last week, but we'd be happy to answer your questions about it.
You've had no outreach or anybody, no contact? And
nobody's contacted us on this, but we do plan on doing outreach.
Okay.
In addition to the home business ordinance.
Questions? Let's open the public hearing. Ask if there's anyone who would like to address Ordinance 279 dealing with commercial campgrounds and trailer parks. Seeing no one moving to the microphone, close the public hearing, turn to the board for action.
Would move second consideration of Ordinance Number 279, amending Chapter 85 definitions and Chapter 90 conditional uses for commercial campground and travel trailer parks, and move third reading. Third reading.
Be waived. Yep.
Second.
Motion and a second. Further discussion? Olson.
Aye.
Chitty.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Ordinance 279 has been passed on second reading with third reading waived, so 279 is now in effect. Anything else from you guys?
That's it.
Thank you. Good job on all this.
A lot of work. We did some really fast, but their office did some wonderful work here because.
Well, we probably spent. How long did we spend on this last? I mean, we went through these in detail last week. Videos available to anybody who feels like they got shortchanged today that we moved through these things. Now we're to additional items.
Yeah.
Discussion and consideration of January 8, 2019 as a limited agenda, and that we would hold that meeting in the assessor's conference room. Rationale is we're finally getting new audio-visual equipment in here, and they need that week to work in this room. So limited agenda simply means that anything that can be held will be held. It doesn't necessarily mean that we're just going to do claims or just going to do consent. That's what we shoot for, but if there's something that comes up, we'll handle it. It'll just be in a really tight room. Clearly, there won't be space to have a lot of members of the public attend.
Right. So I anticipated, after thinking a little bit about, you know, the couple of items I thought might be on the January 8th agenda, just realized that we can either do them on the 2nd or we can push them to the 15th. So I would move that we hold the meeting of January 8th in the assessor's conference room, as this room will not be available, and that we try to keep it to a limited agenda.
I would second that.
Motion and a second. Further discussion? Olson.
Aye.
Chitty.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. January 8th will be downstairs, and we will try to control the agenda as much as possible. Next is discussion and consideration of the procedure for reviewing confinement animal feeding operations, construction permit application, and scoring for the master matrix. Margaret, we happen to have three of them in front of us now just because we weren't having any fun. Is that what happened?
That's right. You know, I really thought I would retire before I had another round of this, but apparently, and I've never thought we would get three at one sitting.
So I believe that this is my 7th, 8th, and 9th since I've been sitting on the board. It feels like it's going to be your 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Have you done 2 since you've been sitting here? And this is your first go-around?
Are we counting the Bill Couser one? Not really, because that one was just
a change in...
But in 2013, we put in a process that incorporated more staff members into the scoring and let us have more eyes on the scoring. Can you walk us through our existing process for dealing with a confined feeding animal operation application?
Absolutely. I'm Margaret James, Environmental Health Department. Let's see. So as you said, in 2015, we adopted a procedure just to kind of include other departments to do a thorough review. The review really hasn't changed any. I used to reach out to those same individuals, but now it's up to them to report to me. This year, Story County adopted the Construction Evaluation Resolution 1872 that allows us to be involved in the review of these larger systems that are coming in as applications. And then the Board of Supervisors, and hopefully today, will acknowledge the receipt of all 3 applications. And the 30-day deadline doesn't start from today to get all of Story County things to come to get to DNR. It starts on the day that DNR received the applications. Okay. Now, they gave us a December 17th deadline. To me, that's a little more generous than 30 days, even counting Thanksgiving, but that's our deadline. It's December 17th for all 3 applications.
Because these came in on November 7th, as I understand.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Correct. So then, assuming that you acknowledge receipt today, that triggers Environmental Health publishing in the paper, public hearing, okay? And you're going to vote on the date for that today. We also post signs in at each of the sites. We only own one sign, so Matt is busy getting a couple more lined up so we can get signs at all 3. I think that's important.
Absolutely.
And then we also notify all landowners, not just buildings, but all landowners within 2 miles of each proposed site. Okay.
Which is way over and above what's required.
Yes, nothing is required for that. The only thing that is required of us is the public notification in the newspaper, the local newspaper.
Do you know of any, it feels like when we put this in, we talked it through, do you know of any other county that reaches out to everyone within 2 miles?
I do not.
I don't either, yeah. And then the second part to that is when that 2 miles spills into a municipality, we don't reach out to every single person in that municipality. We simply notify
the municipality itself,
and it's up to them to get notice out for that municipality.
That's
so
right.
One of these is within 2 miles of Nevada. For example, we won't notify everybody within Nevada city limits. We'll notify everybody out in the unincorporated area within 2 miles, and we'll notify the city of Nevada.
Correct. Yep. Let's see. So then what happens next, the 26th DNR will be reviewing the actual site reviews for all 3 of them. I plan to attend. I'm going to have Matt Corey attend. And then our board, our review board, is also invited to attend. I haven't had any takers yet, but
tell us about your review board while you're talking that through. Who is on it from the county and what is their responsibility?
Okay. So instead of just the Environmental Health Department reaching out to the different departments, we have a representative from each department that has any role whatsoever in the review of this. And let's see, that includes, Environmental Health, Planning and Development, Engineering, Conservation, Assessor, Emergency Management, and a Planning and Zoning Commissioner member, which is Aaron Steele, although he's going to step down, so he'll review these 3, but then we'll have a new person after that.
So it's with the chair of Planning and Zoning, is it?
Not necessarily.
Okay. We like to Planning and Zoning appoints.
Yes. it's nice to have a person with a farm background, and that's how we came upon Aaron, because he knew that. And then, of course, we have Ethan to be our legal counsel on all of those, and he attends the meetings, but he doesn't get any assignments. So, okay. All right, so, and then...
November 26th, correct, just to make clear.
Correct, yeah. And then the following day, I've set a meeting for that group to meet, and we will do our scoring on that day, and I will make a presentation for the public hearing. We will have maximum capacity seating available because I anticipate a lot of people wanting to speak to this. What else? And then, okay, and then after the board hears everything, you make your recommendation based on scoring and based on comments. And even if the score is acceptable, you can still recommend not permitting the system based on comments. Okay.
Can you go over what possible either ramifications or consequences might come about in the event that, let's say, it passes its scoring, but the board would vote to recommend declining it? Is there some kind of penalty for that, or is there a long-range penalty?
What do you mean by penalty?
If there are multiple votes by supervisors, whether this, on these three, if all three of them were voted individually to be denied, that'd be three denied. Or if we had one, let's say, down the road 6 months from now, then, and we voted to deny that one based on comments or general principle, can you talk about if there would be a consequence?
I don't know of any. I don't think DNR goes there. It's based on the merits of the site itself. Let me review something here.
I'd like to review something that was said to me.
It's approved based on score. Okay, so you can... if you disapprove, DNR puts out this table. If you disapprove and it's based on comments... and it still meets the code requirements for setbacks and everything, DNR does not conduct their own scoring of the master matrix because we've already said that the score is okay.
Right.
Okay. DNR issues construction permit, yes, with an asterisk. DNR shall respond to county comments in writing. So...
In essence, what happens is... A county would vote to deny, even though they recognize that the score passed, and then the county just, it's like the denial never happened. It just goes to DNR, and they issue it.
Prior to my taking the board, and I want to say it was sometime around 2014, 2015, and I believe it was in a forum, okay, an election forum, a comment was made that we could, if any county got in the habit of just denying based upon comments, especially if they were of a broad nature and more principled or philosophical, that the DNR could pull our right to use the matrix scoring.
I'm
just telling you that.
I've heard that as well, and I've checked into it just over the last few days because I had heard that exact same thing, and I can't find anything that shows where DNR would ever, and I'm using my words here, strip a county's right to weigh in on these. It almost becomes a moot point, though, right? That's all it becomes. But I heard exactly the same thing, and so dug into it, and I can't find it.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
Since we've addressed the fact that we have the ability to either affirm it or deny it, does the board have any capacity to affect the scoring as the progress that's being done?
The board or the committee?
The board with the committee it's a separation, as I understand it. The committee will do the scoring, and that will be presented to the board.
Right. And just before you answer that, Margaret, I just want to clarify something you just said. Board of Supervisors does not have the ability to approve or deny anything. We have the ability to recommend approval or recommend denial.
disapprove is the word they use.
I'm trying to get to the point where, on an educational basis, about what the board has the ability to do as we're empowered by Iowa code. Because, I mean, we've gotten to the point where the DNR is going to do what the DNR does with the score.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what can we do as a board of supervisors as the score is being generated, is my question, in the sense that I think we're going to another dead end there.
Well, I think that the committee comes up with the score, but then if new information is brought forward during the comment period, that score, or comments that the board makes, that score could certainly change based on comments. But usually the scoring, because story...
Wait. How would the score change based on comments?
Well, if somebody brings up a fact that you missed this well that's within 100 feet or, you know.
Yeah, but that's not, so I agree with that, but that's not changing a score based on comments. That's changing a score based on facts. There's no gray area in what the score is.
Correct.
Yeah.
So a question with the committee, the committee or a member of the committee, maybe you, is tasked with reading every single line to make sure that everything's filled out correctly? Or is that something, if it got to the board table and we spotted there was something not completed according to instructions, what would happen then?
Not completed. Well, you know, Pinnacle is doing these, and they're very experienced and very good at what they do. So there might be typos or information that's left out, but I don't think it affects the scoring.
In a material sense.
In a material sense, yeah. So it's possible that you could find a small thing that was left out, and, you know, and it would be up to the board what direction you want to take, you know.
So the application is before us now, and I guess you've had a chance to look at it. Have you found any typos or anything?
I do a brief review to make sure they've answered all the questions. And if they leave stuff out, that is our right to diminish the score based on information that wasn't provided.
Okay.
But it does look like it's complete. All three look complete in my initial review, yes.
And let's just be clear. So the question is, what impact can a board or can this board have on the scoring? So in the process that Story County has established right now, the answer is the board doesn't have any impact on the scoring. That's handled by staff. That's reported out to the board. The board asks questions. If new factors come up, then we deal with those factors, but based on the information. Now, the Board of Supervisors can always decide. Board of Supervisors gets to decide who scores this thing for the county. If the board wants to score it, the board can score it. If the audit, some places the auditor scores it, some places, but a board of supervisors has the ability to set the process for any given county, how it's going to go through and conduct a review like this.
I personally can't imagine a more thorough system than the one that has already been put in place. We have experts from several different departments looking over from their perspective, and with the inclusion even of, say, emergency management, we've got people who have some expertise in every section of that matrix to be able to evaluate it. So I'm very comfortable with the process that has been in place.
Well, I appreciate that, Boris. I mean, we worked really hard back from 2012 to 2015 to recognize that this is one of the more contentious items that comes before a board of supervisors. I mean, there's really two big ones that tend to come before boards of supervisors, and we're dealing with both of them in December this year. You've got combining animal feeding operations, and you've got drainage district work, right? And so recognizing that it is a very contentious issue with, and frankly, no fun for anybody on either side of the issue, it was important to us at that time, and I think it hopefully remains important, that we take as much of the emotion out of it as we can, and you do that by putting a process in place where it's the pros doing the work. Originally, we had 100% of the pressure on Margaret Janes to handle this, and decided it was too much. It's unfair to ask any one person to bear the brunt. I think you were getting calls at home on the weekend, and too much for any one person to deal with all of this. And so we tried to make sure that we took the professional expertise that we have and take as much of the raw emotion out of it as possible. I don't think there's a way to take all the raw emotion out of it, but hopefully we're taking as much out of it as we can.
And related a little bit to the raw emotion and feedback I've seen sitting out in the audience before, the reaction in the past. Margaret, have you had any feedback from the legal department as far as process, seeing that our process stays the same for each one of these, so that there's continuity across the board? And has there been any fear expressed from legal department about variations of how we would process them, if there were variety or variations?
Well, I don't think that's been a problem in the past, and that's one key component to a strong regulatory program is continuity and fairness across the board, even playing field. So I feel like we've been consistent throughout.
Yeah, Loris, if you wouldn't mind, kind of expand on that thought just a little bit. Are you suggesting that we would think of handling them differently, or what?
No. I'm thinking in possible requests or talk going out there about if this board would just vote to deny anybody, okay, not just these, but anybody, when all the factors were indicated that they did in fact meet state law, they met the scoring of the matrix, okay, what would happen? Would we be at legal risk for turning one down? Or turning a recommendation, sending a recommendation to deny. I just wondered if there had ever been any discussion about it. It's one thing that I personally am concerned about, that if we vary on and say we deny something on what would appear to be somewhat arbitrary basis.
Sure. Well, so I would suggest, I appreciate that concern, I would suggest that you visit with Ethan Anderson or Jessica Reynolds and just get that lined out in your head. So I make no bones about where I come down on this. I am an absolute believer that you follow state law, not the state laws you agree with or the state laws you like, that sitting in this position, we follow the state law. And so for me, it's at the end of the day, it's going to be a fairly black and white issue. Either I believe it meets the state law or it doesn't. I can absolutely see where it's completely reasonable for somebody else to tie other things to it than just the state law. And I would say, if you feel like you're potentially in that pathway, just get yourself as comfortable as you can of what the ramifications might or might not be.
And I will reach out to the legal. I just wondered if you'd already had any discussions that way. I already, just to let the other two of you know, I was asked a question about, could this board vote to delay it another 30 days?
Right.
And I inquired of Jessica Reynolds, our attorney, about that. And the answer is no. The only two.
Why would you ask to delay it 30 days?
That was my question back to the person who asked me. Okay.
Did you have a conversation, or did you just take a question?
Somebody had a conversation with me. I don't know. I think in this particular person's instance, in hopes that maybe a different seated board would come back with a different vote. As far as the recommendation.
Did you express an opinion to that question?
Yeah, I think I can say is my opinion was what would be why.
Yeah. So
I wasn't an opinion.
So I appreciate this conversation, but it's really a moot point because we don't have the ability to delay anything.
That's the point.
The applicant gets to choose. The applicant chose the date that they submitted this. The applicant gets to choose kind of the timeline that this works in. And what's really important to remember is, at the end of the day, this board or the future Board of Supervisors does not really have an impact on whether something is going to get built or not.
Correct.
We can make a statement. We can, for lack of a better way to phrase it, we can put on a show. We absolutely are responsible for receiving all comments. Story County traditionally goes above and beyond to make sure that there's plenty of notice. It's not like somebody is not going to be aware that these are getting built. I mean,
right.
Marlis is going to do something in the Journal and the Trib, and you watch Facebook at all. It's running everywhere. People are going to be notified that this is going on. And those that have a vested interest want to bestow more authority on the board than we have. They want to believe that we can stop it or we can make it happen.
Correct.
And the reality is we can do neither.
Correct. So that helped, Marty, ask a question.
Well, I guess we're in the public education, public information mode, and I think we cannot be too painfully clear on what the tools that the state of Iowa has empowered boards of supervisors with.
So you were asking, did I say it won't make any difference? I mean, yeah, this is what we can do. Yes, I did say that. That's what you were really asking.
That's where I was going.
But it was a question asked. And so I went to our legal attorney, and no, we don't have the authority to postpone it. We need to get ours done in 30 or whatever they tell us the deadline is in this case.
Their version of 30.
Their version of 30.
Clearly, we've got, as Margaret spoke to earlier, Pinnacle Farms does this around the state of Iowa. They're very good at what they do, very thorough. I suspect there isn't any, as Margaret pointed out, when she padded those piles of applications there. Now, I would not think that they're going to find any holes, but you're going to go look. And then you, in turn, are going to take into, I think, Story County did a wonderful thing. I'm glad I was part of it. And that we brought our best and most capable minds that are most affected by it on a departmental basis, put them at the table, did not leave this vested into one office. They will come back and score it and give us their rationales, their decisions. And then we take that application and work to move it or on approval basis or not.
Yeah, and let me say this about our staff members involved. These staff members are they're pros. They're the best of the best, and I don't buy for one second that any of them will let any personal feelings. Well, I'll give you the example. One of our staff members had one of these put up very, very close to his home several years ago, and personally wasn't real happy about the idea of one going up close to his home, and he still handled it every step of the way like a pro. And that could be true for if we've got staff members that are okay with them.
Mm-hmm.
If they find something that's a problem within their area, you can count on them. They're going to bring it up. They're going to ask the question. I mean, this is a thorough group that we've put together. And Story County, as I see it, in the 8 years I've been here, Story County works really, really hard to make sure we go above and beyond to notify, we go above and beyond to receive public comments, we go above and beyond to try to educate what our role actually is, because the people that are going to try to hang authorities or responsibilities on us that we frankly don't have, the only thing we have to combat that is trying to educate again and again and again. Here's our role. Here's what we're able to do. Here's what we're not able to do. Receive the heat and the criticism and whatever it is we get, and then do the best we can with the information we get. That's all we can do. Right? Other questions about the process or procedure that we're going to move through these three applications that we're going to deal with as soon as we get to this. No action required here. Well, I guess they're a consideration. So I guess we're affirming working with our existing procedure.
And we need to acknowledge receipt of the three applications.
Well, we're going to do that one at a time after we finish this one part.
All right.
The only other thing I would like to add is that if you wanted an extension on that 30-day deadline, the only person that can request that is the applicant.
Yes.
And DNR, Paul Petiti, recommended if we were interested in going that route, that we should reach out. Story County should ask Pinnacle if they would consider it. And based on, like if we needed more time because of the holidays and people being absent, things like that.
Do we have people absent?
I don't know people's vacation schedules.
Well, you said you scheduled a meeting. You've invited everybody on 26th. You're calling a meeting for the 27th. So I had this conversation with the county attorney just as soon as I learned that we had received these about timing and everything else. And as I understand, the county attorney feels like Story County inserting itself, going to the applicant when it's the applicant's decision, mm-hmm. puts us in some kind of jeopardy.
In jeopardy.
Potential mm-hmm. jeopardy.
Well,
the applicant controls this aspect.
Yes. Yes.
It's a process they start when they make the submission. There's a definite timeline. We have the ability to form our own measuring crew. We do that, and then we bring it back to us. It just has to work in a certain calendar time. I don't think moving this or even making a request to move it is going to change anything. I suspect they did it because it works for them. I don't think they probably would mind. That's just a guess. But I don't. I think even if you were to do an outreach, you would come back with the fact that they're fine with the timeline as it is presented.
Okay.
Other questions on the process or procedure? If not, I would take a motion to affirm using the existing, created in 2015, a policy and procedure for how Story County is going to go through the process.
I would move consideration of the procedure for reviewing confinement animal feeding operations, known as CAFOs, construction permit application, and scoring the master matrix as presently conformed.
I would second.
Motion and a second. Further discussion on that one aspect. Chi.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. So, Margaret, please proceed as it's laid out within the time constraints that the DNR has told us. Now, let's go back to items that were on the consent agenda and we moved, and we're going to deal with these hopefully quickly, but one at a time. First one is acknowledge receipt of construction permit for Richland 10 by Longview Port LLC.
I would so move as just stated.
Second.
Motion and a second. Olson.
Aye.
Chi.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Richland 10 is acknowledged. Next one is for same exact verbiage, but for Richland 28.
So move.
Second.
No. Motion and a second. Olson.
Aye.
Chi.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Ditto again for Richland 29.
So move.
Second.
Motion and a second. Olson.
Aye.
Chitty.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Those three are acknowledged. Now, let's deal with Resolution 1944, setting a date and time for a public hearing of December 11th for consideration. So that's when all the scoring would be done and all the information would come to us. And what's before us is setting that December 11th at 10 a.m., meaning we would do it as part of our regular meeting. We've tried it both ways, evenings and mornings. Generally, what we found in the past is you're going to get complaints either way you go. Either the morning is bad and people can't be here, or evening is tough and it's conflicting with some other item. We cannot do it on December 11th in the evening because we have a previously scheduled public hearing for Grant 5 Drainage District. That one's going to, you talk about a room full of people, that one's going to have a room full of people. So if we're going to do it on the 11th, we either need to do it at 10 a.m. or we need to look at a different date for doing it.
I would move that we set it for December 11th, as staff has recommended, and at 10 a.m. In the boardroom.
Yep.
Second.
Right here, ready for a crowd. Further discussion on that and complete awareness that somebody or somebodies will complain that this is where we're setting it. There'll be the suggestion that we're trying to hold it at a time that we couldn't get people here. Nothing could be further from the truth, but that's not going to stop somebody from making that complaint.
And during the discussion, I just want to confirm that those who cannot come in person
right.
can always provide written comment via email, by mail.
However,
okay.
That should be directed to?
And the comments should be directed to Margaret James, Environmental Health, or, am I not correct, it can come to any of the board members.
Absolutely.
And
it will be included in our final packet that we submit to DNR. Any public, I've had them before. I've had them email. I've had them letter. I've had voice messages left on my phone. We include anything, any and every public comment that we get regarding this, whoever it comes to.
Correct. And that would be for the public hearing.
Correct. Anything further? We've got a motion and a second to do this as part of our regularly scheduled meeting on December 11th.
I think we've covered it. Margaret, do you have anything that you want to add?
No, sir.
Okay. All right. Olson.
Aye.
Chin.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. We'll deal with this at our public meeting on December 11th. Margaret, good job.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Good luck.
Thanks.
For the entire team.
Next item is discussion consideration of Sheriff's Office vehicle changeover cost of $65,236, which is $9,236 over budget. You mean they're starting to charge it? You don't look anything like Leanna. They're starting to charge us more for doing this stuff, Nick?
Well, there's a little bit that goes into why we're over. First of all, I want to say good morning to the board. Good morning to everybody in the room. My name is Nick Lenny. I'm with the Story County Sheriff's Office. And, yeah, it is not a cheap endeavor to outfit our squad cars, as the board well knows from past years. We are presenting a memo today with quotes for seven different vehicles to outfit our vehicles. Our vehicles get changed over every 4 years, and part of that changeover not only includes purchasing the vehicle, but transferring all the equipment that comes out of the old vehicle into the new vehicle. We try to be as cost-effective as possible and reuse equipment when we can. We do have some cars that have some extremely old items in them, siren control boxes, light bars, stuff like that. And it's very important to keep a level of dependability on these cars when you're out there doing public safety functions. And so the overage of the 9,000 really largely is a result of equipment that's well beyond its life expectancy. And, you know, as a matter of dependability, really needs to be replaced on this go around, because these vehicles will not see another changeover for 4 years. And we ask that the board consider the vehicle bids that we had and the vehicle purchases that we've had this year. Fortunately, came in well below what we had budgeted. We hope that's taken into consideration with this total cost. And one other thing I'd like to add is, on top of that cost, there's always the possibility of a small increase or decrease in that quote. It's not a binding number by any means, but this company has proven itself to be pretty accurate on their quotes. However, if they dig into this car and find that there's something that can't be reused, that may need to be replaced, that may reflect on the price within a percentage. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Yeah, so board, so one of the reasons that we're dealing with this year is changeover costs traditionally had just been a line item in the sheriff's budget. This year we pulled it out, put it under the general fund dollars. It means we need to deal with these things. I'll tell you my viewpoint on this, and then we'll go with whatever you guys want to do. But the cost of the vehicles, fully equipped and ready to go on the road, is the cost of the vehicles. And the reality is, we're under what we budgeted in terms of cost of vehicles. We purchased these vehicles at a good enough price that even with the over-budgeted reality of putting new equipment on these, we're still under our total budget for all of this. And like I say, if you go down the road of believing that a sheriff's vehicle is not a sheriff's vehicle until it's roadworthy and ready to go, and think of it in terms of one fell swoop, we're still coming in under budget.
Was $16,000 under budget.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. We kind of visited this issue when it wasn't at your vehicle that got hit in that blizzard on the interstate.
Actually, it was one of the deputies on my shift. But, yeah, that got totaled, and that was one of the vehicles normally scheduled to get changed over. One other thing about this year, excuse me, is seven of the vehicles that are getting changed over are fully marked units, which require a lot of equipment. Right. There's some years where there's only three or four marked units and three or four unmarked units, and so the price fluctuates from year to year. But yeah, you're right. We did have one get totaled this last February.
The process of saying how much it would take to, I remember listening to the insurance conversation, is what we'll settle when you realize we have to take the equipment that we can that's serviceable out of this old trash vehicle and put it into the new one.
Yep, and a lot of times the company really doesn't know fully if that equipment can be reused, especially in a totaled vehicle, until they tear it out and inspect it and look at it, which adds a little complexity when we're planning budgets to try to hit that number accurately.
Okay, so my question is, are these dollars general dollars?
General fund dollars, yep.
Okay. Now, this just reflects the belief that we wanted to pull these dollars from the sheriff's office, put it into general, and the fact that these things happen, this is part of doing business, and I don't have a qualm to doing it. So I think it's a reasonable thing. Congratulations, you had the ability to go buy vehicles and come under where you thought you were going to spend.
Absolutely.
So we're in turn putting some of the dollars saved to defray the cost to get the vehicles roadworthy to where you can use them.
Yes.
Is that a motion?
That is a motion.
All right. So we have a motion to approve the 9236 over budget, fully recognizing what Loris just said, that the reality is we're still 16. Overall, we're still 16,000 under. You were in the second?
I am going to second that.
And further discussion? Nick, good job. Thank you.
Yeah, thank
I appreciate
you.
It. Thank you.
Chitty.
Aye.
Olson. Aye. Sanders, aye. It passes. Now, next item is departmental reports. We've got Mike Cox with us today.
Good morning, Mike.
Mike.
Good morning.
Good morning. Well, let's see. Just a few things here I'm just going to run through here as quick as I can reasonably, and if you have any questions, just let me know. First off, a little update on the Tedesco Environmental Learning Portal. Been a project that we've been working on for many years, and we are just now wrapping up or nearing completion on our phase two of that project. Phase two is what makes it look like a park. Phase one did the stream work and restoration, kind of some ecological restorations, and phase two is the park amenities and such. So that is nearing completion. It won't be complete this year. We have reached substantial completion. Final completion will be in the spring. We have yet to do there. You know, we had some damages when we had the heavy rainfall this last summer, so we had a couple areas in the stream that were damaged. We have yet to do that work. We are getting some quotes on it right now, and that will be wrapped into a FEMA project that we're working on. So that's yet to take place. And concurrently, we're working now on design of phase three. So phase three is the trail connection that would go from essentially from the second roundabout, the middle roundabout on University, and out to R38. So we have been doing design work on that, field review, inventory on that. We've got wetlands delineation done. We've got some topographic survey done, and we're working through on that. We do have tentative agreements with all the landowners along that way, and we're just waiting on this field work to get some final easement boundaries before we move forward with the formal easements with landowners for that process.
And Mike, let's stop there and be really clear that talking about connecting the research park to R38, where we have bike lanes that go down, not ideal, but we have bike lanes that go down either side of R38. That's not the permanent solution for getting all the way down ultimately to the heart of Iowa Nature Trail. It's just the best solution we have immediately. I know Mike and his team continue to look for creative ways to get us really from the research park, in essence, to Kelly, and then from Kelly down to the heart of Iowa Nature Trail that don't involve lanes on a heavily traveled county road.
Correct. Well said. Anytime we can isolate a recreational trail from vehicle traffic, the more the better. The more isolation, the better. For both parties. So yes, we still do continue to look for ways to do that. We are anticipating a grand opening the next June, so June of 19. So we haven't set a date yet, but we're anticipating that. Please keep that on your radar. So. Next, speaking of the heart of Iowa, you know that we've been working toward getting sections of the heart of Iowa paved, and right now we're working on our first section of that, which would be Slater to Huxley. We have been successful thus far in getting two grants to do that work. We have leveraged the energy transfer funds that we have in order to get some grants. And we've been successful thus far in getting $500,000 toward this project. We have one more pending grant application out there. And if that comes through, then we will have paid for this first section in its entirety and won't have to use any local funding for it. So let's hope that happens. That's just the 2.5 mile section.
But still.
Fairly short section. But it's an important one, and it addresses, I know that you'll have a conversation shortly with Darren Moon about one of the implications or one of the fixes in trail connectivity in this section, and that is a shared use road and trail for a short section of 535th Street.
Right. That will come to the Board of Supervisors as we get into next year. That's just a conversation you've been having with Darren Moon about the possible ways to have that connector. So what's happened, Loris and Marty, is when the rail bed was abandoned years ago, the county didn't take it as we would do today. And so we had landowners that acquired some of those sections. And so we've got a section, as you come into Huxley from the west, we've got a section that is owned by a private landowner who has no interest at all in having a trail run on it. So Mike and I actually met with a representative of this landowner to talk about the different ways that maybe we could get something done, and really met with, I think it's fair to say, ultimately no interest. I had hopes there for a little while, but met with no interest. And so now it's trying to figure out how you take that stretch of trail that really doesn't have a home and still provide a safe, paved option for people using the trail to go ahead and get back onto the trail in Huxley. But that will be a conversation that will come to the new board from Darren Moon at some point early in 2019.
Yeah, I believe it'll probably be part of the budget discussion.
Yep.
Okay.
So that's the heart of Iowa. Very optimistic about our ability to get that done and get it done fairly soon. Right now, we're scheduled for a March of 19 bid letting on that project. So we're looking at 19 paving.
For your 2019 portion of it, not the Darren part, correct?
For the trail up to the road.
Okay. That we are hoping is going to be 100% paid for through grants and other type of awards.
Correct. Yep. And speaking of trails, just a quick update. We're scheduled for bid letting on the Prairie Rail Trail extension, which would be from downtown Zering out to Highway 65. We're scheduled for that to go to bid in January.
Yeah, and just so we're clear, right now the Prairie Rail Trail, even in its grass state, which a lot of people want to see become something more than that, from McCallsburg to it ends at 65, and there's no way to get all the way into Zering. This would actually connect Zering to that trail. It does not make any mention of ultimately improving the trail to the west of 65 over to McCallsburg at this point.
Correct. That's right. And I know there's, you know, anytime we start talking about trail improvements, there's, you know, multiple interests from cities, municipalities to bring trail improvements to their areas, and we want to work with every one of them. And you know, we have kind of an overall trails plan that calls for lots of improvements and lots of additional connections to cities, and we'll work through that. But it's a lot. It's a big financial commitment to meet all of these. So,
and we'll have part of that during the budget discussion anyway.
Correct.
About where your plans are for next year and some in the capital
correct.
Down the road.
Correct. Okay. So we're moving forward. Like to be able to move forward faster, but the more we can bring in some outside funding to make them happen, obviously, the better off
for all of them. And just to underscore what Loris just said, there is nothing's going to happen with any of our trails without the board having an opportunity to weigh in. Previous board is the one that weighed in on getting this section done from Slater to Huxley, and it's just taken us multiple years to put together the funding necessary to get that done. No board has weighed in on improvements from, on, for example, Prairie Rail from the call to
here.
Right.
Okay, next one. Jordan Family Wildlife Area. I think since I was last here for a quarterly update, we had a really successful grand opening.
It was awesome.
and dedication for that that area. 175 acres on the Skunk River south of Ames. Just a beautiful area. And again, we just received a tremendous amount of support to bring that to fruition, and now it's being used by lots of people. Lots of hunting use this fall thus far, and just general recreational use out there. So it's nice to see that happen. I know the community is really excited about that.
And the Jordan family was so proud. I mean, so the kids that were there for the grand opening or for the dedication, you know, they grew up on that property, and the memories that they have of what it is, and I think at least they expressed that their mom and dad would be so happy with what this is becoming. And I was impressed with the number of members of the public that came out for the dedication. And as I go by there reasonably regularly, it seems to always be getting use.
It's used quite a bit, so it's nice to see that. Hickory Grove Lake, that's on the list. You all know that as this
the lake that would not drain. That's what I call it.
Holy cow. Our weather has created lots of ups and downs in the lake. And so at the moment, we're on a downswing again, and we're down about 10 feet. But the good news that I want to bring forward is that bids were received by the Department of Natural Resources this last week. I haven't received a formal recommendation from the DNR yet. I expect to receive that soon. Two bids did come in under the engineer's estimate, and so that's good news. I guess our hope is that then we can get a bid awarded. We'll come back to this board probably on the 11th.
Sure, we don't have anything else going on the 11th, so you might as well just pack it up.
Perfect. So it'll be nice to get that one checked off and move forward as well.
Hey, can you make a note? So if we ever get into drought conditions in Story County in the future, can we just make plans to drain something? Because that seems to be a surefire way. Anytime we plan to drain something, we're going to get a lot of rain.
Yeah, just open the valve and let it go. And
then it'll rain.
Yeah. So interestingly enough, speaking of that, overnight, probably almost literally overnight, we went from that lake being 10 feet, 9.5 feet low to being 3 feet high, 3 to 4 feet high. And so that's a swing of 13 feet on a, give or take, on a 100-acre lake. That's a lot of water.
A lot of water.
So, we have another land acquisition that that we'll do a dedication for, and again, we haven't set a date, but it will be May, most likely May of 2019, and that's what we call the Carroll Prairie. Again, one of those kind of family legacy projects that the family gave a significant donation to make that happen. And community dollars came up with essentially the rest of it. Private dollars came up with the rest of it. So that we haven't dedicated yet, but that's on West Indian Creek north of Nevada. That will happen most likely again May of 19. Watershed assessments. I know that Leanne and I and Jerry and Deb and some others have been working on developing the watershed assessment implementation plan. And so, again, I know plans to bring that forward. I want to say that's December 11th also.
Yeah, so we've got a joint meeting with Planning and Zoning Commission on December 5th.
Right.
And then I think it will come forward to the board on December 11th. Yeah, just pack a lunch.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to be here all
week. We also have a scheduled meeting at 1:30.
We need to reach out to the librarians,
We need to reach out
to the librarians for December 5th and see if we can reschedule.
For December 11th.
December 11th.
Yeah. We're...
By that time, before it comes to you on the 11th, it will have gone through both the Conservation Board and the Planning and Zoning Commission.
But Conservation Board, it goes through on the 10th.
On the 10th, correct. We had tried to get a joint meeting with those two boards, but timing just wasn't going to work out to get that done. So we'll go through the two different boards independently. Sensitive areas inventory, just a real quick update. You know, we've been working on that for a while. This marks the end of the second summer where we've been doing our floristic surveys, so our plant surveys of these sensitive areas. Our consultant there will continue some of the work in the next spring, and then I'm assuming we'll get a report then after, soon after that. So next summer we'll have a report back on the findings of these two, essentially 2 years of field work to identify these things.
You go ahead.
So that's Dr. Rosberg, correct? Okay. Wondering about, there's a developer who's looking up at around 170th and County Line Road, and there are a few small areas, I understand. In that
I was just going to mention that. That's
okay.
Where I was going.
Yeah, okay.
Very cool. And so coincidentally, on December 11th, we expect for there to be something that works its way through planning and development and the Planning and Zoning Commission that will come to the Board of Supervisors. No idea what that will look like, but on that piece of property that you're talking about, fortunately for us, the proposed developer allowed Dr. Rosberg and Mike Cox to go out and review, look at everything, and I think now is trying to build and submit plans that recognize some of that existing prairie and recognize the conservation value there. But I thought it was comical as we talked through December 11th. I expect us to see something on that on December 11th.
Right. So, and so I understand, you've been working with the developer also, or talked to the developer. And just to let you know, I had an opportunity to talk with him yesterday, and I mentioned Amy Yoakum as being the natural prairie expert, you know, but I too was at least pleased to hear the conceptual plan is to try to save those.
Well, Mike and Dr. Rosberg went out and walked the property with the proposed developer and looked at some of everything, right?
Correct. We looked at the whole site, and so we have a kind of a preliminary inventory on site. We know the resources that are there, and to Rick's point, so yes, now that we have that and some baseline information, now we're looking to see if there's some areas that we can have a win-win solution on that site.
I'm excited to see what you guys come up with, and I'm looking at Jerry Moore as well, because it looks to me like, without knowing the details of what's being proposed, I like the conversation that you guys are having, because it appears to me another opportunity for Story County to kind of do something that hasn't been done before in a way that could be mutually beneficial, especially when you start thinking of the reality that we're short housing and we really want to protect the environment. Could be some good things. I'm glad you had a chance to visit with the potential developer.
Okay, that's fine.
Again, since my last report, we've had a number of really successful programs and events happen. One was our annual Wild Women of the Woods. We have, I think this is the fourth year, maybe fifth year we've been doing it. And we have a waiting list every year. We had 75 people that enrolled in it this year, and we moved it from Hickory Grove because of the lake. We did move it to McFarland Park. And tell you what, that's just such a tremendous event. And we always think about doing more than that because we do have a waiting list. But we'll probably just keep it to one event, and, one event annually. We also, again, due to the rain this year, some of our school programs were down in numbers because field trips being canceled and Hickory Grove Lake being drawn down. We normally do some canoeing trips and such there. But our school numbers were down a little bit this year, but to be expected with the rain and the conditions that we have. We did just do a kind of a holistic survey of our environmental education program, and really aimed at what do people want with that. And so we got tremendous responses from that. And so we know that people want, for the most part, they want more environmental, or I should say outdoor recreation and outdoor kind of skills. They want those things in programming. And they want more for adults. And elementary or young children come second. But those two groups and kind of those outdoor skills and outdoor recreation are the things that we're looking for. It's always nice to kind of take the temperature on what the community wants. We've tried this year, we've tried to kind of do some programming that is not, that's a little bit atypical, but more so from an environmental stewardship standpoint. And with the general public, those aren't as appealing, frankly.
Right.
And so we're learning that although we want to get those messages across from a stewardship standpoint, from a conservation standpoint, but more broad public appeal is
that's the veterans. You got to offer the meat of the dessert in order to get people to eat their veterans.
Exactly. So we've also been looking at how, you know, Erica East was here, Erica Place was here, a couple months ago with me and did a nice report on social media and the use of social media. I tell you what, she just has a command on that, and so it's nice to see. So she's tweaked a little bit of what we're doing, and she says she's not sure how she arrived on it, but somehow she's kind of hit a golden spot with Facebook algorithms. And we have one event called Luminary Hike coming up. That event was advertised on Facebook and was seen by 38,000 people.
Right.
And almost 2,000 people said that they are either interested or going to this event.
Wow.
It's incredible. And so we put on additional sessions and such, but we're not going to be able to accommodate 2,000 people. But at any rate,
and you're not going to have 2,000.
And we won't have 2,000 people, but it's encouraging to see the kind of response.
I'm old enough to remember back in the day when Facebook just actually put out stuff to your friends and your followers, and it wasn't based on an algorithm.
Right.
But it's nice that Erica's figured out the algorithm.
That's good.
Yeah.
We need to
pick
a brain on our recent.
Right? You know, we're also working on a new volunteer database management or software program that's going to have a web page interface, and so it'll make it easier for volunteers to either sign up for events or sign up for service opportunities, to sign up for notifications about potential opportunities, etc., to report hours, all of that on the internet. And so it'll be really nice. We'll hope to unveil that in January.
Did we purchase that? Or
we did.
Okay.
Yep.
We've looked at outside people who can help us maintain.
Yep, it's a web hosted. Yep.
Great.
Yep. So we've tried different programs over the years, and this is what we finally landed on. And we're really optimistic about this one. So. Also, I think I've mentioned before, and you should have got invitations to this, but please mark December 7th as our Story County Conservation's Legislators Reception Day. The focus is going to be outdoor recreation. We've got someone from the Department of Natural Resources that's going to come and talk about the new statewide comprehensive outdoor recreation plan. We've got someone from the Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation is going to come talk about our statewide trails and their importance on economic development. And then I'll share a few local outdoor recreation projects and initiatives. So we're looking forward to that. Invitations, I believe, went out on Thursday or Friday. And as of last night, I think we had 30 already signed up, RSVPs. So that's encouraging.
And we generally get one or two of our state reps to
that show. Lastly, I want to say that we're working toward a number of different riparian buffer protections. The Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation is a partner with us on this. They have recently purchased a piece of property adjacent to Sleepy Hollow access area and Ada Hayden. And the idea is that then that is now protected from a water quality standpoint, or that, of course, the Stump River runs through that property. And so our idea is that then that becomes a public recreation area and probably has a focus on youth archery and maybe archery for people with accessibility limitations. It's 15 acres of land, so it's a fairly small piece. I think that it works well, again, being adjacent to those two areas and along the river, that it's a nice piece to protect. And I think some limited hunting in that situation will be well received by the urban deer management team. And so I think it'll be a really nice parcel.
Good. Question for Mike.
Mike, talk about the cabin progress at the Dakins.
Where you at? I'm sorry.
Tell me about the cabin you guys got going.
Yeah, so we've got a team working on the cabin, working on design of the cabin. We haven't contracted with any design firms yet. I've been working through with legal, with our legal department, trying to determine the best ways to go about that. And we're looking into a way of doing a different type of contract, if you will, a design-build contract versus a design-bid-build contract is what the normal process is.
Why would you do that?
I think that those can be more efficient from a financial standpoint. I think that they can cost less and speed it up. And I say that recognizing in full well the irony of saying speed it up because it's taken so long to get this far. But that's something we're looking at. There are some firms that are interested in it. So we've had some preliminary discussions with some firms. From design and construction, and so once we determine how we can legally go about the procurement and the contracting phase, then we're ready to do that.
So is it a reasonable assumption that there will be some level of construction in 2019 or Dakins in this respect?
You're talking fiscal year or just 2019?
In 2019, that is reasonable, yes.
Okay.
Just comments about design builds. This is a small project, so that might be an economical way to go. I have some questions about design build when you get to larger projects. So I'll wait until we have a larger project those up.
But it's appropriate to talk about on small projects as well once it's presented to the board. And so just be clear on what the process is going to be, right? So they're exploring more at a staff level than anything else what they're going to take to the conservation board for possibilities. Conservation board will consider and discuss whatever proposal comes forward to them, and then ultimately for any contract work it'll flow through this board of supervisors, so we'll have an opportunity to weigh in when it happens and can talk through the whole thing, because I'm with you. I think it's a unique set of circumstances that would present itself to say that design build might be the way to go. But I want to leave us wide open for anything that might come.
And I agree, I just wanted to let you know, I had some reservations personally, so don't be surprised if it gets to this level and I got this question. Yep. Thank you.
Good. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks.
No other reports today. Public forum number two, opportunity for members of the public to comment on anything you'd like to comment on. Come right on up to the microphone if you wish to comment on anything.
Thank you.
And seeing no one moving to the microphone, liaison assignments, Loris, I think it's you first this week.
Well, given that we've got a short week with the holiday and a couple of my meetings would normally meet on Thursday that I would regularly attend that have been pushed to other times, I'm going to just wish everyone a happy holiday, happy Thanksgiving, and pass it to Marty.
Marty.
Had a considerable amount of CAFO inquiries, I think you saw by the meeting as it happened today, that is consuming a lot of oxygen in regards to what we'll be doing and addressing here both this month and next.
spent almost 2 hours with Ames manager Steve Shanker, Tracy Warren, and her staff talking about Grant 5, which will consume a lot of effort and oxygen next month. And I think it is safe to say it's a learning process for the city of Ames through their annexation of their Eastview connection that I think there was unforeseen attached. And we'll get there. And I think that we have the ability to do some very good things that are both needed and will serve, you know, in the near term and long term. But I am not sure the path that we will do will walk to get there.
Yeah, so I think it is completely reasonable that so we get a couple days here for Thanksgiving, and then when we come back Monday, I think completely reasonable for both of you to expect that we're going to have a full-time job dealing with questions, issues, comments on the confined animal feeding operations, that we're going to have a full-time job dealing with questions, comments, concerns as the Grant 5 data goes out, and that we're going to try to do everything else we do along with it between now and December 11th. And so what I would say to you guys is have a great Thanksgiving, really enjoy a couple days, and come ready to go Monday, because then we've got a wild couple weeks, and it should be the last wild couple weeks of this year that we're going to have, but we got a wild couple weeks that we're just going to have to focus in and get through. And fortunately for us, the code is pretty clear on how we're supposed to handle both of those issues. Doesn't make it less contentious, but it's pretty clear on how we're supposed to go, and it's why we're here. If there's nothing else, I'd say happy Thanksgiving and look for a motion to adjourn.
I move.
And I second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.